Father, thank you for your word and for the truth that it speaks and for how it reveals to us things that we need to know for ourselves. Father, we need objective truths about ourselves, and you are our Creator God who knows us inside and out. So as we hear these words, as we contemplate them this morning, I pray that you'd give us our perspective on our own situation, on our lives. I pray that you'd give us the integrity to look beyond our own thought space, our own prejudices maybe, our own ways of thinking. Pray that you'd help us to get under the hood in our own lives, examine ourselves well, honestly, and with integrity, so that your word would speak clearly into our hearts. I pray that your spirit would be at work to change us. And I pray that we would all leave this place rejoicing in what a wonderful, good God you are, who makes yourself known to us, who surrounds us with your love, and whose love goes on to 1,000 generations of those who love and trust you. And all of this I pray for your glory. Amen. Well, what do you most need in life? What's the things that you most need? If you are lost in a desert, for instance, food or water, what's your most basic need? Water. It's funny that Joe should have been talking about cockroaches before as well. It's a completely different change of topic, I know. But the Gray household is inundated with cockroaches at the moment. So I started looking up pest control, and I found out, because I got a little sidetracked, that cockroaches can live for a week without their heads. And what they die of is lack of water. I want to check that again, because that just seems too incredible and crazy to me. But that was on the Flick Pest Control website. You can check it out for yourselves. What they most need is water. What do we most need, though, in all of life, in all of the spheres of existence that we have? What is the thing that we most need? Think about your mates at school, think about your own situation, think about your friendship circles, think about people at the supermarket. What is it that people generally everywhere most basically need? Some years ago, I was asked to preach on this Bible passage for a World Day of Prayer event. And each year, that event has a particular focus. And the year that I was preaching on this passage, the focus was on slavery. And that's a good cause to be seeking ends to, isn't it? We really want to see people being freed. And we're going to have the Waldhouses in a few weeks' time. And Corrine will be speaking into that area, which will be fantastic when she comes on the 24th, I think. But as I looked at this passage, which has a slave girl, here's what struck me as I looked at it. She's a slave girl at the beginning, and she's a slave girl at the end. But she's free. At the end, she's free. It's just that she's not free of her slavery, but she is free of her slavery to an evil spirit. And that makes a huge difference, but it's not actually addressing slavery. It's not that slavery is an unimportant issue, but what it's telling me is that there's something really important, even more important than her physical slavery, that's on the table here. In our passage from the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul encounters this slave girl in Philippi, and she's possessed by an evil spirit, and her fortune-telling abilities are being exploited by her owners for their financial advantage. And that's a miserable way of living, isn't it? Someone exploiting this girl for their financial benefit. And the slave girl yells out after Paul and the others. She says, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." That's extraordinary, isn't it? What a thing for someone to be yelling out. And this goes on for a period of time, we're told. Here's the thing, they know the way to be saved. I mean, take on board what she's saying. There's something huge on offer right there with what she's saying. And that raises the question, well, what is the way that they know? And what is it that people need saving from? What is it that this girl sees that is such a wonderful answer to her need? There's a lot of things that people could be saved from. People are stuck in slavery. There are people with leprosy in the world where I grew up. Lots of lepers in southern Thailand. There are people racked with all sorts of different illnesses. All sorts of things can afflict people. There are different sorts of abuse and oppression and all sorts of conflicts. There is poverty. There are many things that people face which are great challenges, which you can see as great needs. What particular issue will we concentrate on? How do we read the lay of the land? How do we assess and give value to the things that people have needs over? What is the greatest need of humanity? Objectively, what is it? There are lots of things that we could say are really important. For the slave girl, you might think that her slavery was the worst thing possible for her. That's a reasonable thing to look at and see how bad it is. It hits you in the face that she's a slave, and so that notion that that's a terrible affliction that she has could be seen as the big issue. But Paul never frees her from her slavery, as I've already mentioned. It's not being insensitive to slavery as an issue. As I said, there is something bigger. She is free. She is really free from that evil spirit, and that goes on to eternity. She has got her most basic need addressed. Well, that takes away her owner's livelihood, and as you can imagine, that gets Paul and Silas in trouble. They end up in prison, and while they're there, an earthquake occurs, and the jailer fears for his life, because if you lose a prisoner as a jailer, your life is over. It's forfeit. And so he's ready to take his own life. And Paul yells out to them that they haven't left the prison. He doesn't need to fall on his sword. You expect the jailer to express huge relief and thanks. So it's really interesting to see what he actually does say. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" And you think, well, you're already okay, mate. Your prisoners have said that they're still there. You're all right. But he has realized that there's something beyond the circumstances that present, and that he has a deeper need than just that his prisoners are back in jail. He says, "What must I do to be saved?" See, this passage is getting you to look beyond what you see and might assess as your needs physically right before you. This is getting you to ask, what really is your greatest need? Here's what we have. A slave girl isn't freed from slavery, and yet she's free. And a jailer whose life is saved needs saving. In both these cases, there's something that forces you to look beyond the circumstances, isn't there? You've got to get under the hood to say, there's something we're missing beyond the circumstances. We've got to dig deeper. And if you look a little bit earlier than before verse 16, you'll hear about Lydia, who is a purple cloth dealer. Purple cloth is like, you know, I'm not a fashion person. I need someone who's a fashion person. The highest of fashion, the most expensive sort of cloth. She's basically, you get the idea, she's successful and she's doing well because she's operating in the economy of the high class sort of stuff. So you might think, well, she's made it. She's good. But she needs something. She needs to know Jesus. And so she becomes a believer because Paul introduces her to Jesus, and she finds the answer that she most needs in life. So what is the way to be saved? That's the real question, isn't it? That's the pointy end of this passage. What is the way that Paul and his friends knew? Christians know that path as the good news about Jesus. It sounds like a cliche. You've heard it time and time and again, but it doesn't take away from the solid, objective truth that that's what people really need. People need to know the good news about Jesus. In Romans, Paul says that the gospel is the power for salvation for those who believe. In another place, he says that the gospel is a thing of first importance. What addresses people's most important need? People need to know Jesus. The worst things that people can face are answered in the gospel. In the gospel is revealed a righteousness that is by faith, by believing, by knowing Jesus in a way that you trust him and know that he has it in hand. And Paul says that we are saved by God's good grace through faith, by trusting dependence on Jesus to save you. So when the jailer asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul answers him really specifically and so clearly with what he needs. Believe in the Lord Jesus. This is what you need to be saved. And you will be saved, you and your household. That is the pointy end of this passage. This addresses that question. What is man's most basic need? It is to know a good and great Savior who came for you. How could they come to believe in Jesus? Well, they'd have to hear about him, they'd have to know him in order to believe him. They'd need to recognize his great goodness, know something about his character, that he is dependable. You only trust if you know that the person is dependable and trustworthy. In the gospel, you hear about all that Jesus is and all that he does. You come to know how dependable he is, and that is how people come to trust in him. They'd need to know that his character is kind and magnificent for his people, sacrificial, going all the way to the cross, deep in its commitment. Jesus came for the retrobrates. He came for the people that are the furthest away from him, and no one is outside of his reach. But here's what I want to say. I think people miss who the real Jesus is, and they are following after some other popular opinion about who Jesus is that maybe the media puts before you or that others say around you, and they walk away, probably rightly, from that idea of who Jesus is without knowing who the real Jesus is from his word as he reveals himself to us. It's so important to get this right, isn't it? You want to know the true Jesus. You want to respond in honesty and integrity to who Jesus reveals himself to be. And Paul writes in the book of Philippians to the Christians of Philippi, and that's the place where the slave girl and the jailer are, he writes and he says in that letter that he considers everything a loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus. Just think about that. That's like one of those superlative statements that says the most important thing that you need is to know Jesus. There is nothing that compares to knowing Jesus. And so knowing that has implications for our lives, for ourselves, for others. Christians need their understanding to come about Jesus from his word, not from some popular opinion somewhere else, don't they? We need to get it straight from his word. Secondly, it's really clear that when we know the good gospel message, this same message is for those around us. We need others to know about it. I'm so pleased the way that that people got in and put those decorations out there. I know it's an indirect way to reach a community, but we want to be about letting others know about Jesus. And we're starting a conversation with the community. So important. We want more of those conversations, don't we? Because we want people to have their most basic need met. That's to know Jesus. That's what this passage is about. I can just sum it up in a nutshell, can't I? I should just sit down, shouldn't I? Our most basic need is to know Jesus. Well, this is what Christians want people to understand. Christianity isn't primarily a philosophy. It's not an institution. It's not a club. There is a community that forms. There is a certain philosophy that arises. But it all comes secondhand from knowing Jesus. That's what's most important. Sometimes I have conversations with people and people are angry and dismissive of Christians and what they believe. And some of that's probably pretty fair. You know, if you encounter something hypocritical, you're going to react. And that's pretty fair if you come across hypocrisy, isn't it? That's a fair thing. But I wish they'd get beyond that. I wish they'd go further. I wish they'd find out who Jesus is. I wish they'd get past all the Christians who aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. I wish they'd get to know Jesus. Because I reckon if they knew Jesus, they'd respond a whole lot differently. How honestly and how much with integrity are we responding to the real Jesus? Are we taking on board who he is as he has revealed himself to us from his word? It's why we've been going through the book of Luke. Because Luke says that he's writing an orderly account so that we might know the certainty of the things that we've been taught about who Jesus is and what he came for. We're going to continue that into term one of 2021. I'm going to stop talking here. I'm going to play you a song by Colin Buchanan. It's not a kid's song, but it essentially takes all of these thoughts, puts it in a song. I think that's really helpful for us to hear. And then I'm going to pray at the end of that song. Okay, so I'm going to play this video for us now. It helps us to think about the real Jesus and knowing Jesus truly from how he's revealed himself to us. Let me do that right now.